morning. What a joy to be here. I see some old, familiar faces. Let me re-emphasize. I see some familiar faces from old times. It's good to see Rosemary here this morning. I knew she knew that I was going to embarrass her. I'm not going to make you stand up and clap, but anyway. It's good to see you, Rosemary, and it's good to see so many others here as well. We have a bunch of people traveling today, but we also have a bunch of people who have traveled here. And so we're excited that you're here this morning, and we pray that God will bless you because of your presence here this morning. We're going to be starting this morning a series of lessons or sermons through the book of Deuteronomy, and so if you want to be reading that and make a mental note of that, that's where we're going to be going over the next, I don't know how many weeks, however how long it takes us to maybe get through some of that or wherever we're going. But I'm excited by that. It was stirred on through me because of just making sure it's on. Because of our preaching through the Gospel of Mark, and I noticed that so many of the quotations and things in the Gospel of Mark pertain back to the Old Testament, Genesis, and particularly Deuteronomy. I thought it would be good for us to look at Deuteronomy for a number of reasons. And so I'm excited about that. Deuteronomy is a book of new beginnings. It's a book that kind of looks back and looks ahead at where things are going. It's really Moses reiterating the opportunities for the nation of Israel, the Hebrew nation, after they had kind of refused to obey God in the beginning, and this is their second chance. And so there's a lot of things that talk about growth, movement, development, and all of that sort of stuff. And so I'm excited by what it offers us as we head into the summer months of 2016. As I looked at that, I realized that as we go through the book of Deuteronomy, and as we look at different things in there, I know there's some of you here who are well familiar with this process. Some of you have just moved, some of you in the process of moving. And whenever you move, from my experience anyway, whenever you move, it's always a time full of anxiety, it's a time of worry, it's a time of, well, you know, we're pulling up things that we're familiar with, and now we're moving into an area where we really don't know what's going on, or we struggle to know what's going on. And so the anxiety reigns supreme. We really don't know what's ahead. We've got an idea what's ahead. And sometimes we don't even know where we're going. I know some of our military personnel, as they are transferred off or whatever, they have that special acronym term that they use for sending them away to foreign lands. They travel away here, there, and everywhere else. And some of them don't even know where they're going. And they just have reports by word of mouth of what's going to happen in some of those different places. But all of those emotions are really amplified maybe by the distance and the planning or lack thereof for the move. And so we can identify with that. And if you have any idea about moving, then we can really identify with what Moses is saying to the people of Israel as we find them here in this first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. The text today really brings us into the fore of the circumstances of that. And really, I think about that, and some of the stuff I was not aware of, we as a congregation are poised to experience some of these changes in our movement. You know, we're in the process of studying and praying about whether or not we're going to have elders. And, you know, time will tell, and we'll be diligent in our study and prayer and search for that. But then also, if you've noticed, the development and growth of our community is really right on our doorstep. If you see around, all of these trees and everything have been moved. Some 460 apartment buildings are going to be there. In my mind, that equals about 1,000 people. Plus, because we've got this apartment complex right across the road here that they renovated just last year, and there's probably a couple hundred people there. So, you know, who knows what the future holds. But I think both of those things for us will bring significance to us as a congregation. And, you know, what is going to unfold, I'm not too sure. But as we look at that, we can identify with what Moses is speaking to these people here in the book of Deuteronomy. This nation of Israel has the double jeopardy of the fact that they are going into this promised land, they're going into this new territory, as it were, not knowing where they're going to go, and really not knowing even if they are going to get there. Because for them, they're going to have to work, and they're going to have to go to war. So they don't even know if they're going to make it. And so the anxiety within them as people, we can identify with to some degree. They still have to conquer the land. But they've been told that God will give it to them. And so, surely we can identify just a little with this people. Because God has told us He would bless us and He will guide us and He will cause us to increase. And so, we're looking at the book of Deuteronomy then as a book of times of movement and times of change. And I think it's very relevant to who we are as a people in the community that we live in. As we look at it in verse 6 of chapter 1, as we open it up, you know, it seems that God says to them, okay, it's time for you to move. You know, you stayed here too long. You've been here long enough at this mountain. And it's God's way of saying that the purpose for which Israel has is that they would move on from Sinai to something that God has given them beyond Sinai. It's interesting to me that there's nowhere that I find in Scripture where God does not, where God expects us just to stay static. And I'm not just talking about static in terms of position, geographical, but God never expects us just to say, okay, I've arrived, and here I am, and that's all I'm going to do, and I'm just going to stay here. It always seems to me that God expects His people to be grounded in an understanding of who He is by looking back at the things that God has done in our lives so that we can have confidence to carry on with what He's putting in front of us right now. And so God has promised us and God expects us to be a people that are constantly in motion. Whether it be spiritual or physical, that God expects us not to be static but to be moving. Everything that God does, it seems, with His people today is grounded in that ancient old covenant of Abraham. A covenant that was read for us earlier on by Mark, right at the beginning of the time we assembled together in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3. And if you notice that, you know, over here, the Lord has said to Abraham, leave your country, your people and your father's household, and go to the land which I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, is basically what God has told Abraham, and we are the sum total of that blessing. Not completely by ourselves, but we certainly are an extension of that. So God's covenant with Abraham had a whole lot more in mind than just a promise to the nation of Israel or to this Hebrew nation in terms of land. There was a whole lot more to it than that. And so as we look at the text, as we look back at the text as it unfolds before us, particularly from about verse 7 through to verse 11, we notice there's some very significant things about this covenant that Abraham had with God and how it would reflect on us today. What I want to do is I want to start at verse 11 and then work backwards, and because I'm a kind of a backwards person some of the times, and you don't have to nod in agreement with that. But if you look at verse 11, you know, verse 11 speaks to us basically about the blessings that there is that we have in God because of Abraham. In the fullest extent of this blessing, we read in the book of Genesis in chapter 15 and 17, more specifically about the fullest extent of it. But for now, we understand that this blessing comes to us because of the covenant terms that God made with Abraham. And it's a blessing that is extended within the covenant relationship that Abraham has with God, and in the same sense that we have with God. God and Abraham and all of his descendants are included in this blessing. In fact, if you turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, and if you just want to flip on over to the book of Galatians in chapter 3, there's a passage here in the New Testament that relates very directly to what we're talking about, starting with verse 6. He says, "Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham." Interesting that my text anyway talks about the fact that the gospel was preached to Abraham beforehand. And my understanding of that, in a broad sense, is that this whole concept of grace and love was very, very paramount to the whole concept that Abraham had with God. And we can see that as it unfolds in God's relationship with Abraham. And so, as God has this covenant with Abraham, it's more than just a promise to Israel. It's more than just saying something to this nation of the Hebrews that this is who we are. It includes us. And it includes all of those who have faith that is consistent with the faith that Abraham has. And notice that in the text in verse 11, even now Moses prays that this blessing will continue. And so Moses, I believe, had the same concept that this was something that was going to go beyond just the nation of Israel. And so when we look at the blessings, we need to understand also that blessings occur with people. And people are involved in it. And people are the central theme of God's covenant relationship with Abraham. Not land or possessions. And still, even today, in the central theme of God's covenant relationship with us, it's about people. It's not about what we possess or where we worship or anything like that. But it's about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ that came in after Abraham had made his relationship with God. And so, the whole promise of the covenant that God would make Abraham into a great nation, even to the point where he was greater than the sands of the beaches on the ocean, greater than the stars in the sky, and certainly for them back then to try to imagine that, I assume it would have been difficult, don't you? Would have been very, very difficult. But for us today, as we look backwards at that, we certainly can see the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. And so certainly this concept of growth and development dominates the written books of the law, those books that we call the Pentateuch, as God's law and God's covenant with Abraham unfolds. But here in Deuteronomy and in Genesis, it's difficult for us to really see that. But we understand that as we go into the book of Exodus in particular, and we look there in the first chapter, in the first few verses there, it's a lot more clearer than it is elsewhere. Even so, as we understand biblical history, and particularly from the New Testament writings, we can see that this promise unfolds and it's firmly cemented with this focus on people. In the book of Acts in chapter 3, when we jump on forward a little bit from Peter's first sermon to his second sermon, he speaks about how that the prophets of God had really explained about this whole expansion. And Jesus himself, back in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 6 and verses 30 and 31, where he spoke about that well-known passage of Scripture where he said, you know, consider the birds of the valley, or the birds of the air, and the fields, they don't neither toil nor labor, but I provide for them. And he speaks about that very, very clearly. Then he concludes those comments in verses 30, 31, down to 33 there, where he speaks about the fact that I will take care of you. And so we have the promises of God. And suddenly, when we look in our walk in life and look back at the things that God has done within us, we have confidence that God continues to take care of us. And especially when we look at the spiritual realms that God blesses us, that He's promised to bless us, not the physical stuff, but certainly the spiritual contentedness that we have because of Jesus, because of this covenant that God made with Abraham, we have much to be really encouraged about. And so it's interesting that even by the time of the Exodus, even by the time that the nation of Israel started to move out of Egypt, there was concern about their multiplication. In fact, when we read in the scriptures there, you know, they had multiplied so much that it affected how they governed themselves. And maybe if you're tuned into some of that teaching and some of that scripture, we get an idea here that even the nation of God, that God had chosen in these people because they believed in the one true God, the way they functioned, how they ruled themselves, how they maybe controlled themselves, and I hate that word because it's got negative connotations, and maybe how their leadership was developed, it changed because of their growth. And so there's indication there that would be good for us to pay attention to down the road. But as we look at that, it shows us and gives us certainly a platform upon which we can build from a biblical perspective and certainly from a spiritual perspective and how we're to function in the days of change that we live in. But it's all focused on people. And then we get back to verses 7 and 8. And in verses 7 and 8, the focus here is on land. And it was interesting to me that as I looked at this whole concept and understood what God was going to give to the nation of Israel in terms of land, it was interesting to me that at this particular time, Israel possessed more land than at any other time in their history. Even more than what they had in the time of Solomon's reign. And so that was intriguing to me that this land was given to them. Now here's something else that I thought about as I looked at that as well. Under today's political correct system, these people would have never been allowed to occupy the territory that God gave them. Because they weren't naturally born there. Think about it for a moment, folks. Who was this nation of Israel? What was their origin? They were a nomadic people. They had no permanent place where they could say, well, this is where I was born, so therefore it's mine, and I don't care if you've taken it by whatever means, you've got to give it back to me. Where did that whole concept come from? Certainly it's not biblical. Because God promised these people, I'm going to give you this land. And it wasn't theirs. They weren't born there. They weren't even born close to where God was going to give them a permanent place to live. And so, that created a problem. And really, when you think about this whole possession process in the book of Deuteronomy, they had no right to that geographical area. They had no right for any ownership. But it was only by God's grace and God's love and God's wisdom and His power that He said, this can be yours. So think about it for a moment, folks. How does that translate into the world, the spiritual world that we live in? Is this church mine? What sort of ownership do I have of this body of Christ? What sort of ownership do you have? And so I think it opens up some interesting comments about who we are and what we are. In and of itself, when we think about this land possession, and you know, I find it strange to use that terminology because I've just come from a time in South Africa, and right now land possession is such a volatile subject there. And people are being killed daily because of it and because of the political impetus of what's going on. But because of this land possession, it's huge to the nation of Israel, but not just to them, it's huge to all of those nations who are looking on and seeing them. In fact, it's monumental because it would be tangible, it would be real proof of the faithfulness of Yahweh and His promise. Think about that. Why would these people be able to possess it? I mean, they were just a nomadic group of wanderers. They weren't military personnel. And the people whose land they were going to take, these people were huge. They were powerful nations or powerful tribes of people. And yet these Johnny-come-lately guys from a nomadic tribe are going to come over and defeat them and take over their land and possess it. And so the tension for them, as is the tension for us today, I think is found in accepting the gifts of God and still having the responsibility of doing something in order to possess it. Can you see that? Certainly we need to be able to see that with the nation of Israel. Because God said, I'm going to give it to you. It was a promise. But if they just sat back there like they did the first time and said, oh no, we're not ready to go and do it, it would have never been theirs. You see, they had to go in and take possession of that land. So crossing the boundary for these people very definitely meant war and work. If you see nothing else this morning through the lesson, please meditate on this. The sovereign act of God and human response has always gone together. There's no such thing as just say, I believe, therefore it's mine. There's no such thing as saying, I have faith and therefore it's all mine. Never has been in the recorded history of God's relationship with people. God's gift of grace has always been appropriated by faith, obedience, submission, action, however you want to term it. And centuries later, even today, the gift that God gives us in His Son, Jesus Christ, could be lost again, just as history has shown us that God lost the Hebrew nation lost their relationship with God through unbelief and disobedience and complacency. So I think there's some powerful underlying lessons for us to learn as we look back in this historical account. God's promise to Abraham was a whole lot more than just land being given to this nomadic nation. And although it may be difficult for us to see it here in the book of Deuteronomy, the universal dimension of Abraham's covenant is never very far from the surface. In other words, it's never far from the surface for us to understand that our relationship with God is not just for me. It's not just so that I can say, well, I'm saved and I'm a Christian or I'm a child of God. There is always something far greater to that relationship than what we give credit for on the surface. And here I believe is where Scripture makes a direct application to you and to me today. This covenant that God made with Abraham was so that all nations would be blessed in or through Abraham and his descendants. Beloved, it's not difficult for us to understand that because of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the reason or a purpose for us is so that people in our community would be blessed because of the relationship that you and I have with God. If we don't see that, then we have missed the whole concept of what God has spoken about for His people right from the beginning. We've either lost it in our translations, or we've lost it because we followed traditions, or we've lost it because of a refusal to believe that which God has called us to do is active, is not passive. And I'm thankful that God motivates people to sit in the pews week in and week out to go through the process that they are, because there's a better chance that we'll be encouraged here today than sitting in front of the television or paying attention to social media. There's a whole lot better opportunity for us to be blessed today because we're willing to put money into a contribution plate. We're willing to give something that is of value to us, to God, without having any control of where it goes or what it does. That God would bless us because of the choices that we make. And so, I think the Scripture makes a very direct application to you and me today. There's a whole lot more at stake than just getting across the Jordan River into this physical land. Just as there's a whole lot more at stake than just getting somebody to be obedient to the teachings and have them baptized and immersed into this baptistry to be raised up to walk in the newness of life. There's a whole lot more to it than that, to becoming a child of God. You see, the next step of obedience was the next step in the redemption of the world that existed in the time of Abraham and Moses. Just as the next step of our obedience to God is a step towards the redemption of our neighbor, whoever your neighbor may be. You see, they needed to be motivated not just for them, but so that God's historical strategy would come to fruition. Because His strategy was that through these people called Hebrews, the whole world would be blessed. All nations. Beloved, this morning, as we contemplate that, we, children of God, we need to see that every step of our obedience is called for in a response to God's grace, so that His grace may be seen by others. And they see it as they see us function under the watchful care of God. What we do with the blessing of salvation, with the blessings of God's presence within us, becomes an extension even of this covenant that God made with Abraham. And we become the people who God is relying on to share His hope with a fallen world. I pray that we see that and we understand that. And it begins right here in Warrensburg for us. Because this is where we live. This is where we are right now. I think one of the great blessings that this congregation has always enjoyed It's the fact that we have people move in, military, college, and they move in and they move out. And how we affect them, how we encourage them, determines to some degree how they're going to respond and act no matter where they go. And so in that sense, certainly our role as a congregation is beyond the boundaries of Warrensburg. But for us right now, unless we take care of home base, we're going to be lost in the shuffle. Deuteronomy, I think, reminds us of the value of looking forward and looking back to our blessings so that we can move forward. Certainly when we look back in this congregation and we see the value of people the last decade or two or three behind us who, because of their tenacity, because of their vision, because they held on to some fundamental truths, it gives us the platform of where we are today. Doesn't mean to say that we need to go back and do things like they did back then, because you know as well as I know, it doesn't take very long in terms of years for culture and circumstance to change. And we need to be willing to change with it, even as the Hebrews were willing to change from being in the wilderness to going into the promised land. Big difference between how they acted and responded. And so for us, as we stand on a threshold right now of some significant changes that will happen not because of necessarily our choice, but because of God's blessing in our increased growth, in the increased population that's going to be on our doorstep, there's things that we need to do to accommodate that, to accommodate it in the sense to honor what God has given us in terms of His blessing. And so the passage of Scripture for me that really captures the essence of all that we've spoken about is a passage of Scripture that some way or other has been banned from television. It used to be when I'd watch football games and different things, I would always see people standing there with a huge big old sign that said John 3:16. You know what I'm talking about. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, if that's not an extension of the covenant that God made with Abraham, then I'm not sure what is. We need to remember that. We need to look into our lives and see what God has done and continues to do, and remember that He has equipped us and given us a responsibility that goes beyond what's in it for me. This morning, as we contemplate these things, if you have nothing to look back at, if you have nothing to hold on to, if your relationship with God is such that you're not sure where you are or who you are in terms of your relationship with Him, know that we would love to spend some time praying with you and talking with you. I'm not the only one. I know there's a multiple of people in this audience who would love to sit down and pray with you and discuss things with you and study with you. Because really, in the bottom line is, there really isn't anything that is more important than your personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Because that's the starting point. That's not the ending. That's the starting point. And so, if you have a need to respond this morning, for whatever reasons, whether it's for us just to pray with you because of stuff going on in your life or in your family's life, whether it's because of your relationship with God, David's going to lead us in a song right now, and if you have that need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.